in Montreal.
CKUT, all the rhythms, all the music, all the time.
90.3 FM.
To Palestine, occupation is a crime. Free, free Palestine. You're listening to Radio Free Palestine.
Welcome everyone, you are listening to Under the Olive Tree, the Palestine Solidarity Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. Stay tuned.
Aman,
Palestinians supposed to do? If they dare demonstrate, it's popular terror. If they call for sanctions, it's economic terror. If they pursue legal means, it's judicial terror. If they turn to the United Nations, it's diplomatic terror. It turns out anything a Palestinian does besides getting up in the morning and saying, "Thank you, Master," is terror.
My ask is not to stop going after me. My ask is to close the Israeli military court. My ask is to end the Israeli military system. So the system is there, and if they don't put me in jail this time, they will put me in jail. And the next time I protest or I work against the occupation peacefully.
The Electronic Intifada.
The Electronic Intifada.
The Electronic Intifada.
This is the Electronic Intifada podcast.
Welcome back to the Electronic Intifada podcast. I'm your co-host, Nora Barrows-Friedman in California.
And I'm Asa Winstanley in London.
Hey, Asa, how are you? New year. Exciting things ahead for the Electronic Intifada podcast.
Yeah, I think so. I've already had quite a good story with a piece I did about this Israeli spy in the Labour Party, which there seems to be quite a lot of interest in. And my next piece is about Miriam Adelson, the widow of the late and lamented Sheldon Adelson, who, you know, funded all the evil organizations. And it's really just about how she's going to carry on his work in evil and she was there all along, really, carrying it out.
Yeah.
Funding all these terrible organizations like the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, the Zionist Organization of America, the Israeli American Council, and APAC. And, you know.
And Birthright.
And Birthright Israel, yeah. Especially Birthright. And APAC was like not anti Palestinian enough for Sheldon. And so he broke with them to found the Israeli American Council. Anyway, it's all a bit of a preview for my next piece, which will probably be out by the time listeners hear this. So we've got a good interview coming up today. So I think you wanted to talk about the context of that a bit, Nora.
So yeah, we have an interview with Issa Amro, who's the co-founder of the activism group Youth Against Settlements in the occupied West Bank city of Hebron. Issa, as many of our listeners and readers probably know, he's been facing indictments for years over his nonviolent civil disobedience activism dating back to 2010. Just a few weeks ago, on January 6th, he was convicted by the Israeli military court on 6 counts, including 3 counts of protesting without a permit, 2 counts of disrupting the activities of Israeli soldiers, and 1 count of assault on a soldier. And as Middle East Eye reported, the assault charge is absolutely ludicrous, as are all the other charges. He was accused of shoving a soldier in a 2010 case that had been previously closed by the Israeli authorities. But he was indicted on that charge anyway. And of course, we're talking about, you know, an Israeli military court which has a conviction rate against Palestinians of something like 99.74%. And, you know, like protesting without a permit. I mean, these charges are just completely absurd, but very...
It's a kangaroo court system.
Absolutely.
And it's a racist court system. It's an apartheid court system because this is the court system only for Palestinians and not for Israelis.
Right.
For the Jewish settlers who live in the same territory in the West Bank, they are subjected to civilian courts, and they have access to lawyers and, you know, right to a fair trial and so forth. Palestinians have none of these rights under the Israeli military dictatorship that rules the West Bank.
Right.
So this is what Issa and people like him are protesting against. And for that, he's been persecuted. And also by the Palestinian Authority, too. I read a piece today by Amir Ahas, the sort of dissident Israeli journalist, talking about this. Some of the reporting on how Issa has been targeted for smears by the Palestinian Authority is a little bit misleading and naive in my view, because it's saying, well, he's been targeted by both sides. It's not that, you know, it's the, Israel and the Palestinian Authority are the same side, you know. The Palestinian Authority is an extension of the Israeli occupation, you know, so that's why they've been pressuring him to shut up.
Yeah, so Issa is facing a sentencing hearing in early February. Of course, we'll be covering that. And in the interview, you'll hear him describe, you know, his plans if he is sent to jail. What the plans are for carrying on his activism with Youth Against Settlements. But before we go to that interview, Issa, let's talk a little bit about the context of these absurd charges and the situation in Hebron, especially over the last 26 years. In 1994, there was a massacre of 29 Palestinians inside the Ibrahimi Mosque in the center of the old city by a Brooklyn-born Israeli settler, Baruch Goldstein. And that resulted in no punishment for the settler movement, but instead further intensified Israeli occupation and expanded settler colonization inside the city itself. That's what Issa has been, you know, protesting against. That's what the community has been organizing against, and they want to completely crush the Palestinian resistance movement inside the city and across Palestine. But yeah, what are your thoughts on the situation inside Hebron?
Have you spent much time in Hebron, Nora?
I have. I was actually there in 2019, the last time, and it was just as horrible as the first time I went there in 2004. You know, more just closures of entire city blocks and neighborhoods that were once thriving Palestinian neighborhoods. The literal caging in of Palestinian homes and streets, and the settlers taking. I mean, you walk through the old city, and you know, you go to the market, and you see, you know, on the tops of the Palestinian houses are Israeli settlements, you know, and with these like very armed, you know, heavily armed settlers and soldiers providing cover for them, kind of patrolling the roofs of these houses.
My experiences in the city reflect very much the same sort of thing. You know, I haven't been to Palestine for quite a few years now, but during my time there as an activist with the International Solidarity Movement, I did spend a week or two staying in the ISM apartment there and experiencing the city and, you know, the two sides of the city, I suppose. On one side, you've got the Palestinian hospitality. On the other side, you've got the completely fanatical Israeli settlers who really dominate the whole area. I think Hebron is a place where the apartheid nature of the Israeli military dictatorship of the West Bank, the occupation, is especially stark. Like you said, the Palestinian families are literally caged in some cases, you know, because more often than not in the West Bank, settlements, the Israeli settlements, these colonial edifices, surround cities like on nearby hillsides, and they dominate cities and so forth. Hebron is an instance, it's not unique, but it's not as common, but it's an instance where the settlements are within the actual city. So the city inside is divided up by Israeli military checkpoints. And those edifices allow the settlers, who are some of the most extreme ideological, religiously motivated settlers, to literally take over Palestinian houses, house by house, to throw people out and just have impunity, violence and impunity against the Palestinians. Well, there's literally roads that are reserved for Jews that Palestinians are not allowed to walk on, you know, and everyday life is just crushed, really, for Palestinians. And it's a really sickening illustration of the Jewish supremacist nature of the state of Israel, you know, because these soldiers absolutely uphold the impunity for these settlers, you know, and violence against Palestinians there. It's like the Wild West, you know, because not in the sense of it being pure chaos, although it is kind of in a way for Palestinians, you know, have this kind of chaos enforced on them, this violence enforced on them, but in the sense of that you have a state which has these settlers doing sort of final pushing the indigenous people off the land. And this is something our colleague Maureen wrote about in her the recent article about this, of how this symbiotic relationship between the settlers and the state was very similar.
And you know, the situation in Hebron is definitely a microcosm of state policy, of Zionism as an ideology, of violence and settler colonialism. And, you know, for people who have been resisting that violence and that, you know, and these settlers who are literally taking over their homes, they are faced with extreme and absurd and absolutely racist punishments. So, you know, we wanted to talk to Issa about what he's facing and about continuing the struggle, you know, whether or not he's sent to jail. So let's go to that interview after a very short musical break. We'll be right back.
فايدات الكترة والحرية مش بالإيد من يوم موعيته أنا بنت هاي البلاد بكاء أطفال وبسمة أولاد الأرض صبها أسود خيم علينا حداد بطلنا نعد.
Earlier this month you were convicted by an Israeli court on 6 counts. Can you talk about this conviction and these baseless charges?
Yes. Okay. I, you know, the Israeli occupation was going after me since very long time. From the beginning of my activism, they started their intimidation, their threats, their arrest, their detention. And then in 2016, they just indicted me with 18 military charges. And the hearings went on for around 4 years and a half. And on January 6th, they found me guilty, convicted me in 6 military charges. And I really feel that it's about that. They don't want me to go on with my nonviolence, peaceful resistance against the Israeli occupation.
And these charges, as you mentioned, some of them go all the way back to demonstrations that you were in 2010, so 11 years ago. There were also charges related to obstructing a soldier, one count of assault on a soldier. This and these incidents were already dismissed by the Israeli military years ago. Talk a little bit more about what message the Israeli military and the Israeli government intends to send, not just to you and your family, but your community in Hebron and activists all over Palestine.
The Israeli military system doesn't want any nonviolence resistance against the Israeli occupation. The message is that they don't want the Palestinians to feel that they can make a change, or they don't want any Palestinian voices to speak against the Israeli occupation. The message is that don't resist the Israeli occupation, coexist with the occupation and accept the second or third class citizen in your own country and in your land, and give us whatever we want, and then we give you food and we give you just what is left from us.
Can you talk about what comes next? I know that there's a sentencing hearing soon. And what your legal team has been, you know, expecting to happen.
No, it's not about me, by the way. Yeah, it's not about me. It's about the Palestinian right of peaceful resistance. I think the Israeli military court decided that Palestinians are not allowed to resist the Israeli occupation peacefully, so we don't have any opportunity to resist the Israeli occupation. In one hand, they don't want the Palestinians to use armed resistance. They don't want the BDS, and they are going after all BDS supporters, and they described it falsely as anti-Semite. And now the turn is to stop any kind of Palestinian peaceful resistance in the ground. The Israeli military court is part of the Israeli military system, and the military court existed to suppress the Palestinians and to prolong the Israeli occupation and make it harder and harder for the Palestinians. Honestly, they made my life very, very hard. They made my life impossible. They made my influence on my people impossible to recruit more Palestinians to join. And this is their main target, that they don't want to see a real nonviolence revolution because they are afraid of nonviolence resistance. For 4 years and a half, I was really tortured to go every month or every 2 months to see the military judges, to pass the checkpoints, to see Israeli, you know, I can say that occupation forces lying against me in the military court. In the military court, they brought someone to speak about what happened in 2010, and they brought him to speak against me in 2018, after 8 years of what happened between us in one of my, you know, nonviolence activities. They came to lie, and to see them lying and to see that they have credibility in the military court, it was not easy, you know, to me. Each time I wanted to say, you are a liar, you are lying, you are just, you know, you are here to make my life harder and harder. I suffered a lot in a personal level, in a political level. I was not able to plan my life for 4 years and a half because I don't know what what's going on with me. And nowadays, you know, after I was convicted with six military charges, if it was about, you know, protesting in Britain or in United States or in Canada or in Europe, any other countries, they would give me a price for protesting for that long without giving up. But in Israeli occupation, they want to take me to jail. They want to give my followers and colleagues that don't do what Issa was doing, which was about organizing nonviolence, peaceful protesting. The Israeli military law doesn't give me any opportunity to resist the Israeli occupation. So in the military system and the military law 101, it says that I'm not allowed to have any kind of general assembly. So meeting with more than two in the military, you know, in the military system is not allowed. Raising a Palestinian flag is not allowed. Peaceful protesting is not allowed. And by the way, you know, we didn't discuss any violence in my hearings. It was all about my peaceful approach against the Israeli occupation. And the hardest question the prosecution asked me was if I am the founder of Youth Against Settlement and if I was, you know, supporting the idea in our charter. It says we will work and use peaceful civil disobedience against the Israeli occupation. And they told me directly, Issa, are you with civil disobedience against the Israeli occupation? I was not able to answer yes, because the military system will take me to jail from 1 year to 10 years. So I think they may jail me, they may put a high fine on me, you know, or they may, you know, do anything, you know, to restrict my rights of peaceful protesting and recruiting more Palestinian youth to Palestinian nonviolence resistance. What they don't want me to do, to speak the international community about our rights, about the Israeli occupation. And mainly, I am one of the main founders of camera distribution project, you know, which was to give Palestinian families video cameras to document the human rights violation. So I am, you can say that, you know, I am described as the father of this idea, and they see that they should revenge from me, because now Palestinians, they have a culture of documenting the Israeli human rights violation and putting putting it online, because they usually lie about what happens. They lie that they are the oppressor. They lie that we have apartheid. They lie that we have an occupation, and they try to stereotype Palestinians as violent. Now in this military court against me, they just showed their real image, their real approach, which is about that Palestinians are slaves and are not equal in their community and in their resistance.
That's the voice of Issa Amro. He is the co-founder of Youth Against Settlements in Hebron and is facing jail time after being convicted following many years of persecution by the Israeli military and government. Issa, can you take us a little bit into the work that you have been doing with Youth Against Settlements? You mentioned that you know, many of your members are now trained in documenting Israeli settler violence and Israeli military violence. Can you just describe for our listeners who may not be aware of the work that you do and the situation that you are in Hebron? Talk a little bit about that work and what it's like, you know, living under such brutal occupation and apartheid there.
I can say that I was born in the heart of Hebron City, and I was, as all other Palestinians, trying to, you know, to live my life away from the occupation. And I was a student in the engineering college in Hebron. Palestinians, they like, you know, to raise their children and take care of them and to study in universities. And, you know, my family, main thing my family pushed me to do was to study and study and study. This is what my parents pushed me to do. Unfortunately, in the last year of in my engineering college, the Israeli occupation closed my university by a military order. I had to work very hard to reopen the university to get my degree. It's not about, you know, ending the occupation. It's about ending the closure of my university to go to get my engineering degree. So I led the students to reopen the university, and we managed to do so. I felt that the methodology I used was very successful, which was about using Gandhi's, Martin Luther King, and anti-apartheid movement strategies and tactics. And from that time to now, I started, you know, campaigning and working, you know, to recruit more Palestinians to the nonviolence resistance. What we do on the ground, first, we try to bring the community together, because the occupation tried to separate the Palestinian community. So we try to bring them together with our social activities, with our sports activities, with our, you know, any kind of activity which brings the Palestinian community together. Birthday parties are not allowed. You know, to organize a birthday party in the section part of the city, we do it secretly. We try to surprise the army. We don't say about the date, because this kind of events, they consider it as political. And then we do a lot of legal work. We try to teach the Palestinian families and the Palestinian farmers and the Palestinian activists about their rights in the Israeli military system. As you know, as Palestinians, we are living under the Israeli military law, which means we are guilty till we are proven innocent. So we don't have any basic human rights. On the other hand, the Israeli settlers who are living close by to our houses illegally, according to the international law, they are under the Israeli civilian law. So we have two sets of law in the same area. One for the Israeli settlers to protect their crimes, to give them, you know, more power on us as Palestinians. They are allowed to carry guns. They are allowed to have any kind of freedom of speech, and their hate speech against us, they consider it free speech. On the other hand, the Palestinians are under the Israeli military law, and we don't have any free speech and no, you know, no rights to do anything, even to defend yourself. I was attacked physically by the settlers many, 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 many times, and I was not able to defend myself. Even, you know, I was attacked by settlers, then I was arrested by the settlers. And one of the charges which I was convicted in the military court was 2010, Israeli settler guard came to me when I was filming Israeli settlers riot, and he hit me and hit the camera, and then he claimed that I hit him, and I'm convicted about that in the military court, and the same all other Palestinians. We do a lot of rallies, we do direct actions, we do protests, we do, you know, gathering, you know, to say no to the Israeli occupation. We do a lot of voluntary work to create facts in the ground by, you know, establishing women's center to support our Palestinian women and empower them and giving them opportunity to be able to participate in the resistance and participate in the social activities. We do a lot of media. You know, we try to bring the attention of the media to cover the stories. We train the Palestinian families how to use the video camera, which we consider the most trustful witness to document the Israeli human rights violations. We do tours. You are all invited to come to see Hebron from our narrative as Palestinians. We show the beauty of our city. I tell my personal stories in the city. Me and other activists, they tell how their life when they were child in the closed area where the city is completely closed. We try to do advocacy in the international community and increase awareness. And we do a lot of social campaigns, and our friends are doing an amazing work to support us in Hebron. Hebron, the situation in Hebron is really a microcosm of the Israeli occupation. You can understand what is Israeli occupation all over Palestine from 3 hours visit to Hebron. What you see two 22 checkpoints restricting the movement of the Palestinians in their own neighborhoods. You will see 100 movement barriers. You see closed shops, closed markets, around 77% of the shopping area closed by the Israeli military. You see closed Palestinian houses, and which this is what we call it continuous Nakba. The Nakba didn't stop in 1948 or the Naksa 1967. We see forced displacement and ethnic cleansing these days in Hebron. It's going on. We see that they are working to remove our identity in the city by changing the names of the streets, changing the names of the neighborhoods from Palestinian Arabic name to an Israeli Hebrew names. For example, my neighborhood where I was born is called Bab el-Khan in Arabic. Now it's called Emek Hebron. All the signs are Hebrew English and with Hebrew names. They change the names of our streets, the name of our neighborhoods in our lifetime, and we see it and we can't change it. And they are building more and more settlement project. They want to build a new settlement inside the Palestinian old bus station. They want to build another one in the Palestinian old vegetable market. They closed the market after the Ibrahimi Mosque massacre, which happened in 1994. Baruch Goldstein killed 29 Palestinians, and there is a massacre and shut off all the shops in the city. And in the city, Palestinians are not out to open their shops or to have access to ambulance to escape all the emergency cases. Palestinian handicrafts, you know, electrician and plumbers, they need a special permit to go on to their homes. The life is completely impossible in the city of Hebron. So you see all of that. What you will see, really, the two sets of law, Palestinian families living here, Israeli settlers' family living here, and both are completely in a different legal system. So you see apartheid, the apartheid which B'Tselem talked about, which B'Tselem described that there is an apartheid policy from the river to the sea, that Israel is committing apartheid inside 48 land and on 1960s and borders. And who wants to argue? Me, Isa, I am not equal with the Israeli settlers who are living illegally in my own city. They attack me. I mean, basic human rights, and this is what we call it. Two sets of law, it's double standard and it's apartheid.
It's impossible to think that the Israeli army, with all of these convictions, with all of, you know, these messages that they're trying to send to you and your community, will stop you from being an activist. I mean, it's of course you're not going to stop. And of course, you know, your community, even if you're in jail, Youth Against Settlements will still be active and working for justice. Can you talk about what the plans are if you are sentenced and put in jail, which could happen in the next couple of weeks? How Youth Against Settlements is planning on continuing your work?
First of all, I will not be the first Palestinian who will go to jail. We have around 5,000 Palestinian prisoners. Many of them are in administrative detention. And one of them is our spokesperson, Mohammed Zghayr. He's in administrative detention since 8 months, and they renewed his detention. And I have many friends. Palestinian women are in jail. Palestinian women are in the Israeli jail. I know many children are jailed or mistreated, and I was arrested many times falsely. This is the first time to be convicted. If I go to jail, for sure, Youth Against Settlement will go on. Not only Youth Against Settlement, many other Palestinian groups will go on in their resistance against the Israeli occupation. I want to use this, opportunity to thank all the Palestinian activists all over the world, all the international activists who are doing amazing work in UK, all over the world, in the US, in Canada, in Europe, who are really making an amazing work all over the world. And now they are organizing campaigns to protect me and protect other Palestinian human rights defender. For sure, we will not give up. Youth Against Settlements will go on. And we all will keep working, resisting the Israeli occupation till we get our self-determination, our freedom, justice, equality, and make Israel accountable for its occupation and for its crime against us as Palestinians.
And do you know, do you have any indication at all whether how much time you will be forced to spend in jail after your sentencing? Is there any indication? Is there any chance that you will avoid jail time?
We are trying, you know, to make it very hard to the occupation. We are trying to increase the cost. And this is all my activities, to increase the cost of the Israeli occupation when they target any Palestinian. This is the work of the international activists who are working now to raise the case in the international community, which is to increase the cost of the occupation, of the settlements, and of targeting Palestinian human rights defenders. My ask is not to stop going after me. My ask is to close the Israeli military court. My ask is to end the Israeli military system. So the system is there, and if they don't put me in jail this time, they will put me in jail. And the next time I protest or I work against the occupation peacefully. So I don't trust the Israeli military system. The judge is a military commander. The persecution is a military commander. And it's not a fair trial. The conviction rate is 99.754, something like that. So whatever they do, I am ready to handle. I feel very angry. I am nervous. I can say that it affected me emotionally, socially, affected my family, it affected my friends. And I can say that, you know, I was attacked many, many times by settlers, physically by soldiers, arrested, detained. But this time I don't want to go to jail for a long time. But I have surprise to them. I don't want to say it now, but I will make it hard even to them to put me in jail. If I avoid going to jail this time, I want to work and continue working to make other Palestinian human rights defenders not to go to jail too. This is about protection of Palestinian human rights defenders and even international human rights defenders who are targeted now by the Israeli, by pro-Israel groups, especially in the UK. I have many friends in the UK and USA In Europe, they are described as anti-Semite. In the contrary, they are the best people who are working really hardly to make peace in Palestine and to support the oppressed people. Supporting oppressed people is not a crime, and it's not anti-Semitism. In the contrary, you know, to be with the oppressor is something very bad. I want, you know, to say it loud. Thanks to everybody who registered his or her name on the defenders list. You know, they are historically will be in our history as Palestinians, that those people who are working very hard now to help the Palestinians and to help me, Isa, I feel that, you know, I am very proud of them, and I feel that they are doing an amazing work, and their work is really made me continue doing what I am doing. You know, without the support of the international community, without the support of the international activists, I don't think I continue that long, and I don't think the Israelis would let me that long without any real, let me say, maybe shooting me and you know, or putting me in jail, or you know, whatever bad they do, as they did to other Palestinians. Many other Palestinians were killed. Nobody knew about them. Many other Palestinians are in jail. Nobody knows about them. So we want to make the Palestinian cause active and continuously, let me say, creative, to make the occupation pay the price and make it costly. This is what I tell my friends all over the world. Be creative and make the occupation costly to the occupiers and to the supporter of the occupation, because the occupation would not maintain that long. The occupation without the blind support of many people who are maybe, you know, they hear us now, they without their blind support, I don't think the occupation would be that strong and stay that long.
Absolutely. Isa Amro, thank you so much for all of your work. Of course, we'll keep our listeners and readers at the Electronic Intifada updated on your situation. Be strong. Thank you so much. And thanks for being with us on the Electronic Intifada podcast.
Thank you very much, Nora. And thank you for what you do for the Palestinians. And I think the Electronic Intifada has a special piece in my heart for what they are doing. And I think you deserve to be supported and to continue working to make a change. And I want the listeners to join the campaign, which my friends are now organizing. Be active, posting online, posting anything on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on occupiers, and on us too, because we feel stronger. So anything small you do is really valuable to us. Keep going. We will not give up, but we need you to be with us till the end of the occupation.
Thank you so much. And we'll post a link to Youth Against Settlements and various ways that you can support Issa's case and all Palestinian prisoners and activists fighting for liberation. Thank you so much, Issa.
Thank you, Nora. Thank you. I'm very proud of you. Thank you very much.
And that's it for the Electronic Intifada podcast. Thanks to Sharif Zakout, our music maker and production assistant. For news, information, cultural features and reviews, and pointed opinion and analysis, visit us online at electronicintifada.net, where you can also post comments and sign up for our daily email digest. On behalf of all of us at the Electronic Intifada, thank you for listening.
ضيعوا طوعني يا رايح متطور.
Richard Mills, the acting U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, said the Biden administration will restore diplomatic relations with the Palestinian Authority and resume aid to Palestinians that was cut off during the Trump presidency. Mills also said the U.S. would continue to support a two-state solution, though many progressive regional experts oppose the strategy, saying it's no longer viable. In related news, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas announced earlier this month parliamentary and presidential elections will be held this year, the first elections in the occupied territories in 15 years. Analysts say the move is an overture to the new Biden administration. In other news from the region, Israeli forces shot dead another Palestinian teenager, 17-year-old Atala Ryan, at a military post near a Jewish settlement in the occupied West Bank. Israelis accused the teen of trying to attack the soldiers.
راح محل بعيد ما رح ينفع قلبتي ولا التهديد راح الحب راح محل بعيد صار لازم بلش من جديد راح الحب راح مطرح تاني تنقلو قلب بلحظة ينساني وعلى شو عم ببكي وزعلانة ما كان بده يروح بس راح ما كان بده يروح بس راح كان بده يروح بس راح الحب مش باقي في شي انتهى في شي خلص انكسر راح الحب مش باقي له أثر ضحكتنا بدو يعيد النظر ما كان بدو يروح بس راح ما كان بدو يروح بس راح ما كان بدو يروح بس والدنيا جاية لسه ما عشناهاش
وللصبية للهوى شلها وطرف شلها في الهوى رعاش والغنو دال عاشقين عدلها لما القلوب قالت والصوت ننحاش والأهلنا الجدعان والأصلاء وللصبايا لنا الجدعان والأصلاء وللصباح إلاح وتجلى ودي أغني لابني لكني أوان غنايا ما جاش أوان غنايا ما جاش.
So that's it for us for today. You were listening to Under the Olive Tree, the Palestine Solidarity Radio Show on CQUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. Until next time, I wish you a free, free Palestine.
This message is intended for all Quebecers. We must take extreme measures to curb the pandemic. Only essential services remain open. Gatherings are prohibited. It's forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. These efforts aim to protect our healthcare workers, seniors, and loved ones. Let's comply with the lockdown and curfew to lower the risk of contracting COVID-19, because our health is important. For more information, visit quebec.ca/confinement. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Plus que jamais, les gestes simples sont notre meilleure protection pour lutter contre le virus. C'est pourquoi, en tout temps, il faut continuer de respecter les mesures sanitaires de base, comme maintenir la distanciation physique de 2 mètres, porter le masque et se laver les mains régulièrement. Les déplacements et les voyages sont à éviter. En cas de symptômes, il est important de se faire tester rapidement et de respecter les consignes d'isolement. Découvrez toutes les mesures en place à québec.ca/coronavirus. On continue de bien se protéger. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
Well, you know, Jesus didn't die for us so we could be halfway between two places. He didn't die for us so we could not exactly be a total mess or a failure anymore, but yet never really be victorious either. And a lot of people, I think, get stuck somewhere in the middle. And they've got too much of God to go on, to go back, but not enough of God to go on. And so it's very important to me that I do whatever part I can do with the calling on my life to help people be all the
I'm trying to sell myself and I will do it by myself. I don't trust a soul and I don't need no fucking help. I'm paranoid that everybody's out to try and get me. I'm looking over shoulders as I'm passing through the deli. Maybe it's my skin or maybe it's the way I dress. I'm tearing up my limbs and I won't make it to the next. I'm walking down the street and I'm anticipating death. All because the motherfucker looked at me, I said, I go into the void.
My name is Alia. I'm at CQOT in Montreal. 90.3 FM. Keep on rocking in the V-World.
After the after party, we're gonna keep it going. We're gonna. The neighbors might complain. I think it's almost 4 a.m. But baby, I'm still feeling just fine. Ice all up in a plastic cup, and I'ma keep on sipping all night, yeah. I might have kissed a thousand lips, but maybe that's just all in my mind. Some people never understand the way we live, but we're living life. Monday to Sunday, it's never too late. So everyone say, we don't wanna stop. Cause after the after party, we're gonna keep it going. We're gonna rip it up. The neighbors might complain. Cause after the after party, Studio 54, yeah. Come number one, I love it, but I need it, baby. Pat, bring on the encore. Let's pour another drink, the glasses go.